Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
People watch us. If you are a person, and we all do to some level, but if you're a person who has some public position or some place of leadership or some place of influence, at whatever realm, I want you to know that you live in what we call a fishbowl. Okay? In some respects, you're like the animal at the zoo. I mean, people don't buy tickets or anything like that to come and, you know, watch most of us. I mean, unless you're a professional athlete or something like that or some famous artist, people might, you know, spend a few bucks to come and watch you. But the most part, we don't spend money. We just watch. And you can dislike it. You can hate it. You can despise it. You can do all of those things. But it's not going to change the fact that people watch you. People watch me. I know what it is to live in a fishbowl. Listen, if you have a friend, even one, who you spend time with, if you have family, listen, you are in a fishbowl. It might be an audience of one or two or five, but you know, you can go to work, you can go to school, people watch you, you come to church, you know, church, the idea, ideal in our mind, the safe place, you know, all of those things. Listen, people watch you just like you watch them. It's not a one-sided thing. You watch people. You observe people. And sometimes we observe wrongly, or we get, just a little snapshot in the middle of something, and we sometimes run ahead and draw conclusions that really are wrong and unfair, and we end up trapping ourselves in things that aren't even really real or accurate. But you know what? It's just kind of the way we're made. Okay, now, we can watch, and from watching, we can cross a line into something that's very offensive to God, in that when we watch, we talk. Now, that's not wrong in and of itself. It's what and how the attitude in which we talk about what we've watched in someone else. Listen, we watch and talk. It's part of who we are. And I don't think that that's necessarily as a result of the sin nature. I think part of that is the way God designed us. That we could watch, that we could see, that we could feel, that we could think, that we could communicate in a variety of ways, through words, through touch, through mannerism, expression, all of those things. I think it's good. God communicates with us. We communicate back. We watch and talk. Listen, we understand that you had a few people over to your house, okay? And then it's time for them to leave. And they go. And you're picking up at home, and maybe you're there by yourself or with your spouse or whatever, or family. And you know what? Even when you're by yourself, you start to talk. Sometimes out loud, which, you know, there's therapists for that. But you think that you have conversation in your mind, and you begin to talk and think and share things that you observed about the people you just hosted. Oh, did you notice how nice he treats her? Hint, hint. How he values her thoughts as they sit there. Yeah, it's because he hasn't been married for 12 years or more. You know, whatever, you talk about those things. Oh, did you see what the kids did to the rec room downstairs? Rec room has a whole new meaning. Well, and you're on your way from someone's house and you know, oh, wasn't that a nice evening? I wonder if they ever vacuum. You know, or, boy, wasn't that a nice night? They are such a great couple. What a great lady. What a great guy. And we watch and we observe and we take notes. And you know what? When you're married, you watch other married people. When you're parents, you watch other people who are parents. When you're single, well, you watch everybody. You know, when you are a golfer, you watch a golfer. When you're learning guitar, you watch guitarists. Guitarist is the right word, isn't it? Those of you who are artists. Okay, because that stuff's beyond me. You know, when you like to cook, you watch reruns of, you know, The Two Fat Ladies. Okay, and some of you are going, hey, that wasn't nice. No, that's like the name of a show. Those of you who cook, you know about them. You know, you watch, and you observe, and, you know, you look at it, and you try to pick out good things, and sometimes we get in the mode of being a critic. The fact of the matter is we watch people, and people watch us. It's interesting that Jesus says this. Knowing this principle of humanity that God set in motion for us to watch and be watched. It fits with this principle. He says, let your light shine before men, before people, that they may see your good deeds, your success, how you act, what you say, how you say it. And that from that, they would praise God or acknowledge God or understand that God is in that person or in Christians. Let your light shine. In other words, in all that I do, God, all that I do, let your light shine so that you will get the credit for whatever good thing is in me or as a result of something I do or say. See, most of the time our prayers are, God, I want to do this, so bless it. Okay? And not that there's something wrong with those prayers. We have desire. We have, you know, vision. Sometimes it's, you know, it can be a little corrupt and selfish, but we come and we pray about something and we ask Him to bless it. And I think Jesus is saying here that part of what we need to pray about is whatever I do, Lord, would your light shine through me so that other people who will look at my life, if any good thing comes of it or what I do, that they would understand that you are the one who did this. So that they would get a chance to know you. That's different than God bless what I want to do, and then when people acknowledge that it was a good thing, I can say, well, thank you. Yes, it took a lot of hard work and sacrifice, and, you know, I'm just thankful for the abilities God has given me. And, you know, we start to own some of this stuff. I want you to hear this today. This is a follow-up of God's fire and purging process over the last few weeks. It's like He's been turning up the flame of lighting the fire again. People are looking for something authentic, aren't we? We're looking for something real. We're looking for something that works. It's why parents look at other parents and say, you know, how do you do this and what do you do and how do, oh my goodness, and you've got 8 kids and I've got 2 and I can't take it. You know, how do you, and what do you do when? And now they started school and you look for what works. Or you admire somebody's kids and who are older than yours and you say, hey, you know, how'd you do this? What, you know, and those, there are principles. Don't get me wrong. There are principles, but understand. We do our best, but we need God's involvement. We need God's involvement no matter what it is. And we watch and we look because we want something that works. It's one of the wonderful things that we get to watch and observe God and hear from Him so that we can apply it to our life. And we look to people or examples or, you know, we're the one that's kind of saying, I'm going to go to the zoo today and watch the, you know, the Johnsons. If your name is Johnson, we're not implying that you're monkeys. But people are coming to watch. Or I'm going to go to church today and I want to find so-and-so because I got to ask them, how did you do this? I respect you, I appreciate you, blah, 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 blah. How did you do this? Or you've been married for 60-some years. Tell us the secret! We have a desire for success. But understand, it's not about our success. It's about God. And that He could shine through us. See, there's a greater, higher purpose, for example, than just being a successful businessman. The higher purpose is that the light of God would shine through you and that people would take note of the light that's within you and that the success that came from your life, that they understand God was revealed in it. That you could not have done it without God's help. See, we need His help. And He's given you talents and He's given you abilities. And He's given you gifts. He's given them. He's distributed them. He gave them to you. But understand that it's God who gave it. I've watched talented people never go anywhere because the talent was theirs. And they didn't understand it that through this talent, they didn't allow God's light to shine. It's not just about the successful closing of a deal. It's about did God's light shine through me? This isn't about, well, you know, I met the, you know, the quota in the factory. I had to produce so much each shift and, you know, the week went on and a month went on and, you know, got the award. Hey, met the quota that came down from management. Who doesn't have a sweet clue about what's happening out here? Wait a minute. The higher goal is did God's light shine through me that somebody would take notice of God? That's the standard. That's what Jesus is talking about. The light that shines through us that they may see something good in us and praise the Father in heaven. Acknowledge God that He exists and He can live in somebody. Is it just that they noticed we've been married for 20 years? Or did they notice the light of God in us as a couple? And how we treat each other and how we talk to each other and how we conduct ourselves? Is, you know, they want to look because they want to see the marriage points, but are they seeing the light of God that matters? People are watching and people are looking and we do the same. We do the watching, we do the looking, we do the talking. Some of us have treated the good deeds that come from our life or some measure of success in whatever realm. It can be small, but it was still a success or some good thing was produced somewhere along the line. And some of us have treated it like it's ours. He treated it like it's yours. And that's why people sometimes, frankly, are sick of us. Because we treat that which God has empowered us and enabled us to do when we treat it like it's our success. or our good deed. And you know what? People get sick of that when we treat it like it's our own. And you know why they're sick of it? It's not because of this arrogance and pride that can just pour out. It's they see it as another inconsistency. That's why they're sick of it. Because they know we go to church and they know we proclaim God. And yet we're taking ownership of all the success or good thing that might come out of our life. And they look at it and say, I'm sick of that person because it's inconsistent. This is what they say, this is what they proclaim, but this is what they practice. And listen, something good comes out of your life, some measure of success, some project completed, some good work, some good thing. Praise the Lord, I'm grateful for that. Want you to experience that. Want you to have a life of that. Want you to be blessed. But the success is about God. It's about His credit. And listen to this. It is not enough when somebody comes and notices the good thing that comes from you and you say, well, you know, praise God. All glory to God. I want you to know that's not enough. And what I mean by not enough is that many times can be words. But they see the attitude and the air about us. And it nauseates them whether they are Christians or they are not Christians. It nauseates them because there's this facade of giving God credit, and yet they watch your attitude and air continually, day after day, week after week, month after month. They watch what we proclaim or what we say, but there's something else that's inconsistent. And it's the inconsistency that makes them sick. You see, some of us say, well, you know, they're just envious or they're just jealous. I got to tell you something. Envy and jealousy, yes, it can be present. But I got news for you. Quit patting yourself on the back in this respect. Because it's not always envy and jealousy that gets people sick of us. It's our inconsistency between what we proclaim and what we practice. Because we lose sight of the higher calling and the higher purpose of God. Let your light shine through me before men. So that if there is a good deed, they would praise your name. They would turn to you. That what happens through my life you could be pleased about. Because it drew people to you. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's what he's teaching in his foundational teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. Is there anything right or correct in me, in you, as a Christian? Is there anything that's right or correct in our character that people would say, wow? Wow. It's not just the task we did. It's the character, the attitude that they would go, wow. I mean, is it that we want to be known to be a successful person at work or some project or some reputation at school over, you know, qualifying for, you know, some big event or getting the lead or whatever it is? Is that, I mean, those things are right and good. It's great to have those goals and to pursue those things. But is that really the goal? Is that what we want to be known for? Or is there something in our character that we want to be known for that exemplifies the light of who God is? Because that's an eternal purpose. Listen, I got news for you right here, okay? And I know a lot of youth are gone, but I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. Hey, keep the dreams. Well, you know, want to be the great athlete, the great musician, the great PS3, 2 player, or whatever. You know, all of these things, you know, to be the, you know, prettiest gal in high school, that's your goal. But I got news for you. 30-year reunions come. Listen, I am grateful for the trophies and the, you know, and the awards that I've gotten over my life and when I was a kid and when I was youth and when I was high school. All these things are great. And at the time, it seemed like the whole world. But I got to tell you something. It's wonderful to have those things. You know where all those awards sit right now? In a box that's taped up that I have not opened for, I can't tell you, decades. I mean, my dad just, I don't know, a little over a year ago handed me a box with binders in it of all these articles and all these things he cut out over the years. I mean, it's binders full of stuff and names in the paper and pictures and all. And he gave me all this. He said, this was your stuff that I, you know, from your life. And I said, thanks. I mean, I knew it was a lot of hard work and I knew it was a lot of, you know, taping and gluing. And, you know, my dad's a truck driver, you know. Artsy stuff is, you know, but he had it all organized and, you know, and he's so proud of his kids. And if you can capture the higher goal, you can, you know, you can still want to excel. Please excel, do your best, but understand that there is a higher purpose, because in time, if God give you a long life, some of the stuff you're so wrapped up in now isn't going to mean a whole lot. It's not. You're going to show up at your 30-year reunion. And maybe you had the reputation to be the most handsome guy. And you're going to show up at the 30-year reunion, and you're going to be bald, and you're going to be overweight. And people are going to look at your class photo and say, that's not you. Let me see your driver's license. Do the names match? I'm just telling you. Listen, do I have a witness? Okay? The higher purpose in all that we do is that the light of God would shine through us, that somebody would take notice that God is real. People can see through our false humility of, you know, well, praise God, you know, and we talk this stuff and it makes them sick. Because they see the real air about us. Is there anything in our character that's correct or right that would make people go, wow? That we are identified by the character in our life, not by the job title, not by all the certificates that hang on our wall of all our degrees. And granted, these things are important. I'm not belittling them. But understand, is that who we are? And that we begin to own it? Like it's us. Nehemiah took on something only God could do. He wanted to rebuild the city, and it was burned. It was in ashes. It was in rubble. There are those who said they would help him. There are those who criticized him. There are those who attacked, military attack, while they're trying to rebuild. Only God can rebuild a city in the middle of that kind of trouble. You look at Joshua. God said he'd give him success if he met some conditions. But only God can give the success. I mean, they come to the waters to cross into the promised land, but only God could supernaturally stop water upstream, that it would stop flowing so that they could cross over into the promise. There was no way that anybody could take credit for that stuff. All they could do is say, God. God did that. We were there, and yeah, I was in the place of leading the people, Joshua. But only God could do that. Oh, he gave talent and ability, but only God could do it. And he genuinely believed it. We're willing to take on things that are overwhelming for us. that we know only God could make this right. Only God could grant success. There is no room in it for human glory. If we understand that in the little successes, that we allow God's light to shine through us, and we genuinely believe that in the little successes, even those things would not have happened unless God did it, unless God helped, then in those things, there's the preparation and the forging of character that we could take on the impossible, and we know that God will get the credit. He knows it. There's nothing wrong with saying, I thank you. I believe in throwing accolades and appreciation towards people, but with the understanding that we got to let the light of God shine through us to a community, to a neighbor, to a classmate, to a coworker. That if there's any good deed or any success, that the light of God would shine through us, that somebody would take notice that there's something different, and it's the God factor. And that they find that it's really authentically our attitude. It's what we really, really, truly believe, is that this was not possible without God. Is there some miracle work of the Spirit to put in us the character and virtue of God that somebody could take notice? Because given the circumstances and pressures of life, we could never act that way. We could never be that good. We could just never be that good. The same chapter of Matthew, I want to go back a few verses to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Listen to this. Please listen to the words of Jesus. There's a principle here, and there's a warning that is coupled in his phrase, in his words of life. He says, you have been made to be the salt of the earth, to be a person who has influence and flavor. In you has been put the preservation of the gospel of God. And if we lose our saltiness, our influence, our purpose of being watched so that God's glory can be revealed through any good thing, if we lose that, how can we ever be salty again? It's like we have burned our reputation with those who've watched. How can it ever be restored? We know that God knows how to restore it because he's the restorer of all things. And that which the locusts have eaten, God can restore and make plentiful. But understand, Jesus is sharing a principle. If we have totally taken things as our own or mistreat people, we let no light of God shine through us, and yet we proclaim Christianity, that there's this contrast between our proclamation and our practice, how will they ever listen to the gospel from us? And yet Jesus is saying that's the purpose. That's the reason for your success. It's the reason for your good deeds, is that God could be noticed and revealed. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Think about that. Just that phrase alone. God speaking to you, using your name. Josh, you are the light of the world. Dustin, you're the light of the world. And Louise, you're the light of the world. Mary, you're the light of the world. Randy, you are the light of the world. Not as if, hey, I'm the one who shines bright, you know, and give me glory. No, no. It's the light of God in us that we are supposed to have, the light of who He is in us, so that when good things happen, He gets the credit. He gets the praise, not only the praise, but that others acknowledge Him because of Him shining through us. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think I have... Now, the verses go on here. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now listen to this. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Grab this principle, because Jesus has not changed topics. He's saying you are the light and people are going to watch. And he comes now to this verse, or what we know as verse 19, and he says this: teach others to do the same. If you teach them to do things that are wrong, listen to this. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom. If we continue to model, profess Christ, but model inconsistencies, we are teaching others to do the same. Your children will become like you and take it even further. Every generation does. If we have taught them inconsistencies, then in our aging season, we will go, what's wrong with this generation? What's wrong with this generation was the generation before it. They've only done what they have been taught, and they have taken it further. Just like the one who is taught right and takes it in, and was not shown inconsistencies, they will take the gospel further than the ones who modeled it to them. The principle's the same. If they see mom and dad profess Christ, profess Christianity, put the nice little magnet scripture on the fridge, and yet within the home, those principles, they're not applied. They're not consistent. Hey, listen, we all make mistakes. But even in that, we can let the light of God show, because we can show repentance. We can show, I'm sorry. We can show, Dad was wrong. And this is how we make it right. The inconsistencies. I mean, we look at these as little things. Listen, they are watching. I'll confess something to you, because it was part of a parenting thing for me. There are times that I prayed, and they were sincere prayers. It wasn't fake, phony prayers, but I prayed so that my children would find me praying. What? You big fake, you phony, you set them up, you're... No, no. Because I want you to know this. There are also times that they have caught me praying that I did not know they were watching or listening. This isn't just about parenting. But you know what? There's plenty of kids in Christian homes who watch their parents sharing the gospel outside the home, but they sure don't know how to share it in the home. Oh, you can lead them down the Roman road, but you don't know how to talk to your kids, or you don't know how to listen to them. You want God to turn up the fire? You want holiness? You want revival? You want an outpouring? You want to be effective? You want to be effective in evangelism? It ain't just about the big event. It's about letting the light of God show through you and the good things that may come out of your life, that He gets glory because people will notice God in your life. That is the high calling. It is the purpose. It is the light of God. That, my friend, is evangelism. The inconsistencies and the little things. Not just the big things, not just the obvious things of, you know, hey, I don't tithe, I go to the casino. It's not just that stuff. It's not just the, hey, I know the scripture, my body is supposed to be set aside for spiritual worship unto God, present my body as a living sacrifice, and yet, well, you know, I'm having sex outside of God's design. We know that stuff. There's not a lot of room for, well, that, you know, in the culture, and this, you know. No, there's no cultural interpretation on this. That one's straightforward. We're not just talking about the obvious stuff. We're talking about the inconsistencies. The sometimes us owning something that really is not ours belongs to Him.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.